Porch Talk on WWER. My name is Ted Tate, and today we are welcoming to our studios a gentleman named Sean Gates. Sean, welcome.
Thank you.
Sean, you were brought to my attention by your dad as somebody who lives in the area, in this case King George, who is also a published author. That kind of intrigued me, that we have yet another author in our little town or in our little community near Colonial Beach. But before I get into your book, tell me a little bit about yourself and whether or not you're from King George or whether you moved here. Let's get a little background on Sean Gates.
All right. Well, I am from King George. My parents are not. My mom's from the suburbs of Philadelphia, and my dad, growing up, his father was an aerospace engineer, and so he kept moving around, working at different firms, you know, and then he actually moved to King George to go work at the base.
At Dahlgren.
Yeah, that would have been, probably like 1970, 71.
So you grew up in and around the King George area as a kid, and King what George. Was that like?
That was fun. You know, small town, sleepy, play in the forest all the time.
Many people who would grow up in a small town or a small area like that would tend to wander off and go elsewhere. What kept you here?
You know, I don't know. I never felt like I wanted to be anyplace else. It was, I don't know. I always found it comfortable, I suppose. I'm not somebody who likes to, I mean, I like to go see things I haven't seen, but I want to come home to where home is. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to...
You never had that wanderlust.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You know, some people don't like to wander far from home.
Yeah.
And some people get the wanderlust and want to pick up and go. Just, I guess, depends who you are. I was just curious if you had something specific that kind of kept you here. Did your parents stay in the area? Are they still here?
They're still here. They're still in the same house that they...
That you grew up in.
Yeah, the one we moved into before I turned two. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that would certainly help keep you in the area, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
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 Cool. So what drove you to write your first book?
Well, that's sort of a long and a short story. I don't know if that makes sense, but I have been a reader my whole life. I always credit my parents with this because my mom would sit me down and read to me from the time I was really small. You know, if I was sort of bored or I was getting to be a handful, she'd be like, just sit down, let's read a book. My dad always had this rule because my dad reads. Like, he reads and reads and reads. I mean, he reads fiction, he reads nonfiction, he doesn't care, he just reads it. If I saw a book that I wanted, pick it up, he'll buy it for me. I won't even have to ask. So he said, books are not gifts. You can always... have a book.
Can't always have a toy or candy, but you can always have a book.
You can always have a book. Yeah. And
that encouraged you, obviously, to read more.
It really did. And I remember the first book I read myself was an abridged version of The Wizard of Oz, which was my mom's when she was a kid, and she had passed it on to me. And one day, I was really little, and I wanted her to read to me, but she had to fix supper or something. So she just, you know, like, sorry. And I was like, okay. And I was sitting there with the book, so I just started flipping through it. And I realized I knew what the words said, or at least what some of them said. So I just was, like, sounding it out. And by third grade, I wound up in the advanced English class because I could read above my grade level. And
you had a head start.
Yes, I did.
On everybody.
I absolutely did. Yeah. And I remember going to visit my grandparents. If there wasn't anything else to do, I could be found laying on the sofa with my face in the book. Just
so that, obviously, a love of reading.
Yes.
Where did a love of reading transpire into a desire to write?
That's a good question.
Or was it just so natural that you didn't even think about it?
It's pretty much. I mean, it started... The first time I remember seriously trying to write something was... middle school, probably. And I know in high school, I had this friend who was into comic books. He had a friend who could draw. So he was the writer and his friend was the artist. And when I started hanging out with them, they recruited me. And the thing is, I can draw and I could write.
Oh.
So I wound up helping him write and then helping the other guy with the art. So I was kind of doing
both.
Both. at that point, I started writing more, and my friend and I were always writing and, like, co-writing stories, and whether it was comics or trying to write a novel, you know, we were always just, he'd had this idea and he'd want to write it, but he wouldn't want to write it himself because he'd kind of lack the confidence, I think, and so he would have me help him.
And at what point did you, like, I get the sort of being a kid and going, oh, this is cool, I want to write stories, and isn't this neat and whatever. There must have been some point where you, like, you got serious about it and you were like, how do I find a publisher? How do I get, you know, when did that happen? Describe that to me.
Okay, that happened probably right after college, I guess, because I'd been seriously, like, trying to write novels when I was in college, but I think that at that point it was still sort of fun. I was just trying to get away from being at school. But when I finished college, I came home and I had to find a job. And the thing was, I honestly never wanted to go to college to start with. I kind of knew I wanted to be a storyteller, whether that was in comics or whether it was writing novels or something. I knew I didn't want to be working at office or something like that. That seemed like the most miserable thing I could think of.
Okay. And then, so again, kind of getting back to the question of when did you get serious and how?
It was about 1999. I'd been working in a print shop in Fredericksburg, and I was miserable and just depressed and hating life. Made friends with this guy online who was a writer, and he was living in Shawnee.
Somewhere
it's
far.
It's been 25 years. But he was a serious writer, and I was starting to get back into writing because I hated my work so much that I had to do something that was satisfying.
When you call him a serious writer, what defines that for you?
He was actively trying to get published.
Okay. So he was looking at it as his job.
Yes. Yes. And so I had shared with him some of the things that I was working on, and he was like, you know, you should be actually trying to get published. Like, you're really good. I'm like, okay, but how do I go about that? Because I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And so he actually kind of walked me through that.
Through the process of, like, finding a publisher and submitting a manuscript and all those sorts of steps?
All those sorts of things.
Okay.
Taught me about standard manuscript format and all those things that you're supposed to know.
Right.
That I had not learned because I hadn't.
And that if you sent to a publishing house and you didn't follow these standard formats, they'd know this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
And it would just go right in the bin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
So that's the moment.
So at this point, you now have sort of a mentor, somebody who's guiding you a little bit, who says, if you're serious about this and you really want to get published, this is the way you need to do it.
Yep.
And then, so then I assume you took whatever you were working on that you were thinking of getting published and formatted it.
Yes.
In that way?
Yes.
Yeah.
And soon after that, I actually reached my breaking point with my job and walked out. It wasn't planned. I actually threw my car key.
Take this job and shove it?
But yeah, like, straight up. Apparently, I was like, I was shaking and, where are you going? And I said, away. And just turned around and walked out the front door. Yeah.
And this was the print shop?
Print shop, yeah. Which no longer exists because...
Because you left.
I mean, it sucked. It really did.
Okay, so now you've really committed. You wrote a book, you're trying to send it to publishers, and you've quit your day job.
Yes, without a plan. I was living with my mom and dad still at that point. This was 2001. Sometimes I think 9/11 may have been a contributing factor to that because I quit in November. And it's sort of like you start thinking, you know, you have one life. You ought to do what you want to do because you just never know. Mm-hmm. You know, like literally anything could happen. You find that out that day. Literally anything could happen.
Yeah.
So at that point, I had about half of a manuscript. It was a fantasy novel because that's what I was into at the time.
And fantasy as in like sort of Dungeons and Dragons kind of stuff?
And absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Game of Thrones, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Actually, that guy that wrote that was one of my friend's favorite authors. He recommended him to me.
Okay.
In fact. But suddenly I had a couple thousand saved up in my savings account, which wasn't a lot, but I didn't have to pay rent.
Right.
So it was like, you know what? I'm going to take some time off, finish this book, and then see what I can do. So I took about 5 months. And what I did is every day I woke up, I got something to eat, took my shower and everything, and then I sat down at my desk and I worked. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote, and then I would stop for lunch, and then I would go back and write and write and write. And then supper time, that was my day, unless I was really on a roll, then I would come back and work some more. And I made that my serious thing. It was a 9 to 5, Monday mm-hmm. to Friday, sometimes on Saturday, like, you know, just working. And in 5 months, I knocked out that manuscript, and then I started looking for an agent, and I never found one.
Okay. Never found one because you didn't find one that you clicked with, or they didn't want you? Or...
It's really hard.
Is it? So, to find an agent. I would have thought that that's the easy part.
It is.
But I guess they want somebody that they can market, and they have to feel...
Correct, because they work on commission.
Right.
So, yes.
So they want to feel you're a good candidate.
Yes.
That they can sell.
Yes. And I was, you know, 20-something and didn't know
and had no
anything
history.
About anything.
Yeah.
And, yeah. No... resume for
right.
this sort of thing. Yeah. And that's when you have to learn how to write a query letter, because there's a whole thing, and every agent has some version of the same requirements, but they don't all have the same ones. So, like, they want a synopsis of your book, and maybe they want a longer synopsis, or maybe they want a shorter one, and then they want a cover letter, and the cover letter is supposed to explain who you are and why they should care, and then they probably want to see some sample chapters. Editor for the Newport News Daily Press, and he was asking me what I was working on, and I was telling him about this science fiction mystery thing, and a very important thing happened. He said, "Have you ever thought about writing a novel set in some place that you know? Because readers like to feel that the author is, you know..."
Authentic.
Authentic. "Have you ever thought about writing something set at a place that you know?" And I was like, well, kind of, but the only place I know is King George. What the hell happens in King George? And he laughed, and he's like, well, you know, think about it. That's okay.
You've jumped ahead to one of my future questions I had on my list, but keep going.
Yeah, so that was a very important thing.
At this point, you've now written 3 books that I'm assuming you've tried to market each of them to publishers and got nowhere.
Got nowhere, yep.
Nothing got published.
Yep.
So then what?
So I took some time away from trying that. I would just write. Honestly, about 2007, somewhere in there, I made friends with this guy who wanted to make films, and I've always liked movies. And
here it is, the book deal that turns into a movie, just what you wanted. Sorry.
Well, yeah, it was like, he wanted to make, and he was younger than me, but he wanted to make movies, and he was in this thing where his folks were trying to convince him to go off to school, and he didn't want to. And I was like, I know I should tell you that you should.
Huh.
But just speaking from my own experience, if you don't want to, then it's probably not for you. Just, you know, if there's something you know in your heart that you want to do, pursue it. That's what I should have done.
Mm.
You know, I'd be ahead of where I am if I had done that. So...
So what? How did you break through? How did that happen? That finally.
Well,
and which book was this? Your fourth book, fifth book?
Well, so it was.
Or, and you also said you had somebody suggest to you, why haven't you written about King George?
Yes, and that was
so. All of these things are kind of floating around at the same time.
Yes,
and so at some point you decide that you're tired of writing these cyberpunks, and so maybe I will try a book in King George. Is that
pretty much? Yeah, it was kind of a hustle,
a shady land deal of some sort.
Yes, it looks like there were shell companies, and it changed hands a whole bunch of times, and anyone who's ever lived there knows for a fact that the houses that were built first up front were all built really cheap. The joists and the floors and the roofs and everything were spaced out way too far because they were saving on materials. The windows were like secondhand hospital windows. Yeah, it was bad. Since all those houses have since been renovated and had all kinds of work done to them because they weren't great.
Right.
You know, something happened here. And I'll never know what happened. But my brain is going, maybe it's this, maybe it's this, maybe it was that.
Like, and suddenly novel ideas come to your head. Novel ideas,
yeah. So I could write a book, change all the names, and it doesn't matter what really happened. I'll come up with a version. And that's what I did.
And so that's the first book.
That's the first book.
And that was, for those who are wondering, the Dark and Lonely Road?
That's okay. It. Yep. Okay.
So you've now answered several of the questions I was going to ask you about, is this based on anything real, and is this a case of writing what you know? and the other question was going to be, is this in any way autobiographical?
I mean, I think anytime you write a piece of fiction, you pour as much of yourself into the characters as makes sense.
Or any of your friends in it? Again, you probably used character traits, not necessarily a person.
I would say that. I will also say that some of the characters in the book are real people, whether they're people that I knew or people who had already passed. But like the sheriff, as featured in the book, was the real sheriff at the time.
Okay, because you had done this research, and so you knew that there were certain things that happened. You had public records of court cases and things like that. And So this was all based on that framework, which you then embellished with your own ideas of what might have happened that isn't part of the record.
Right, exactly.
And so you write this book in 2018, 2019, and send it to a publisher, and they liked it.
Not even that. I self-published.
Oh, you did?
Absolutely did. I sent it out numerous times and didn't get any bites. I started getting just so frustrated because I knew I had written the hell out of this book. Like I was proud of it then. I'm proud of it now. It holds up.
Okay.
Like it's my first one that's really, really good.
So you were finally felt strongly enough about something that you were like, this is the one and I'm going to make it happen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I was talking to one of my friends and she was like, well, why don't you just self-publish it? And I was like,
how do I do that?
Yeah, I was like, well, I mean, I kind of knew how to, because I had looked at it, but had never committed to doing it.
Because that's an investment in money, isn't it?
It can be. I mean, it's free to publish it, but then if you're going to try to market it or do any of those things, that costs money.
Okay.
If you need to hire a graphic artist and a typesetter, those cost money. As it happens, I did those things professionally.
So you successfully published your first book, and I guess you've had good reviews, and you've sold, well, I don't know how many, enough to say, yeah, I'm going to do another one?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I published the first one, I sat down and like wrote the first chapter of a second one. It just came to me like a thunderbolt. Boom, here's the first chapter of the second book.
And that's because it's now based in the same place on the same characters, isn't it? You're making a series now.
I am, yep. And so I wrote that, and then the pandemic happened. Like, I had started doing things. I had a couple of public speaking engagements. I had, you know, sold a good number of these things, and I signed up for the Fredericksburg Independent Book Fair. That's a mouthful. And then the pandemic happens, and they're like, oh, we have to cancel this. But because you registered, you're still registering, so whenever we get to do this, again, you have your spot.
So really, you were in the midst of marketing this book of yours, this first book, yeah. And that's when the pandemic hit and kind of put the skids on. Yes. You really being able to, because that's a big part of it. I don't think people realize, you know, after you write the book, you got to get people to know about it to publicize it.
Yes.
And that's a big deal that you've got to do radio interviews, you've got to do book signings, you've got to do whatever to get the word out that you exist.
Yep. Whatever it takes.
And you got stopped in your tracks on that.
I absolutely did.
Okay.
Yeah. So the second one was written
during the pandemic.
What
else are you going to do, right?
You're
stuck in your house, not allowed to go anywhere or do anything. Why not write a book? I bet a lot of people did that during the pandemic.
Probably so. I mean, I got to still go to work. The thing about being a supermarket employee, it's not a fantastic thing, but it is
steady work.
It is. I mean, we're considered essential.
Yes.
Yeah.
So during the pandemic, you wrote your second book and I guess polished it up over the last year or so, and you have published or about to publish it?
It's out. It just came out, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago now, I guess.
And so this book is called In the Trackless Wild.
In the Trackless Wild.
And it's a sequel. So we've got the same character. You're set in the 1960s.
Yep.
In King George.
Yep.
And we've solved the mystery of the shady land deal at the airport, or have we not?
I mean, kind of, yes. He left some things hanging because I had reached a certain point where I was like, I think the book could be longer, but it feels like this is where it's supposed to stop.
Okay.
So he kind of got them to leave, but what they really did was do one of their shell corporation things, and somebody else came in to finish. So it's kind of resolved, but it's not. The second one picks up some of those threads, but it's not really about that anymore, but it is about some of the same people. See, I figure...
Does your book touch upon anything in Colonial Beach?
It does. Yeah. There's actually a scene. Actually, both the first and the second book have chapters that happen here.
Would you, for a third encore, would you consider writing something in or about Colonial Beach?
I mean, yeah. I'm hoping to at some point be able to do research to be able to move Harry, who's my main character, in a little bit of a wider orbit. He lives in King George. He comes to Colonial Beach. He goes to Fredericksburg. He goes up to Waldorf. But I would like to be able to have him doing something that's centered maybe around Colonial Beach for one book.
Well, Sean, this has been interesting. It's we've come full circle on a few circles here, but that's interesting right. to hear about somebody who's published books about characters and events in our area and in our history. Before we finish up, is there anything I didn't ask you about that you wish I had?
I was curious what the conversation would be, since to my knowledge you haven't read the books, but I see it's more about me and about the back, so that's cool.
This particular show is sort of about interesting people in and around the area and that sort of thing.
That's
cool. We don't have a book show per se. And I didn't have the chance to read your book, unfortunately, because as I think I mentioned in our emails, the last 2 weeks have been my busiest 2 weeks of the whole year. I worked 71 hours last week at work at my day job. So time for something like reading a book just was not on the table.
Yeah, no, totally understandable.
Sean Gates, thank you very much for coming into Porch Talk. We really appreciate being able to talk to you.
Yeah, that's fine.